Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Brandy M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, October 15th, 2021. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 91, third paragraph, See Your Man Alone If Possible. Today's readers are Anna S. for the 12 Steps, Joanne L. for the 12 Traditions. Readers of the text are Barbara W., Jordan L., and Julie E.B. Alice G. is our newcomer greeter, and Betsy H. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Thursday, October 14th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17922. That's 17,922. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, the share ID for that one is 17925. That's 17,925. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anna S. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Anna, for your service. All right, I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, world. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Joanne. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 91, third paragraph, See Your Man Alone if Possible, reading that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Jordan L. to begin reading.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with all of you this morning. See your man alone if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up to the time you quit. But say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. If he is in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his. And in the margins here in my Big Book, I have listen written with an exclamation point. I think my sponsor, she knows me well and knew exactly what it was that I needed to hear at this point in the book when I started sponsoring. And that was that for my own program and my own recovery, I needed to learn to listen. and it's not so much about, it's about understanding and being able to meet people, my sponsees, where it is that they're at, as opposed to dragging them along in this process. I think that was definitely my inclination when I first started sponsoring, was to drag people along. and it gets very tiring very quickly. So I really have to learn to listen and understand where it is that people are at and like it says here, how it is that I should proceed as a guide through the steps. I think the other important part of this reading for me is being careful not to moralize or lecture. I had quite a bit of experience with the 12 steps when I started sponsoring people in OA, and I wanted to share that experience, and that's actually a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. That's like a really positive thing that probably did make me more useful to folks that I was sponsoring at the time. But I have to be careful. There's a very fine line between me sharing my experience and me giving advice or telling you what it is that you should be doing, you know. And that those two things are really, really different. One is very effective in sponsorship, and the other is not at all. The other actually deters people from this program, the moralizing and lecturing or giving advice and telling you what you should be doing. So I don't do that for my own recovery and my own program. and I'll just wrap up and say that I like that it mentions humorous stories here. I think that I think Bill was probably someone who had a sense of humor. And thank goodness that's like one of the things that we regain in this, you know. We regain a sense of lightness. Life isn't so heavy anymore. It's not futile the way that it was, the way that I perceived it when I got here. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan. Thanks for filling in. All right, so we'll now open the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Penny LC.
Christina J.
Kathleen O.
Roz G.
Roz G. Anyone else?
Bonnie B.
Barbara Brando.
Barbara. Is it Barbara B?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Where I heard somebody. Okay, so I'm going to tell you who I have. I have Penny LC, Christina J, Kathleen O, Roz G, Bonnie B, and Barbara B. All right, so let's. Penny, good morning. Penny, star one to unmute.
Thank you. Good morning, Brandy, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I really appreciate the authors of the book and how they are so succinct about giving direction. And so I don't have to try to figure it out. It's all here outlined as to how to approach a possible sponsee and how the main factor is being a good listener, yes, as it was mentioned, but also when I am sharing about myself, I want to, you know, just be able to be honest, speak my truth, and hope that that's attractive to the person when they can hear in me how things have changed. I know that that is what made the difference to me coming to recovery. When I could hear the sense of balance in the folks and the wisdom and the sense of peace, just knowing that their lives had changed so drastically and they had what I wanted, there was the key right there. But in the same way, they went out of their way, my sponsor went out of her way to make a connection with me. And that is so appealing, you know, because I felt so disconnected. So to have someone really be interested to listen and to share meant a lot. And the fact that they were speaking my language, she understood. She could relate to what I shared. I could relate to what she was sharing. Oh my gosh. There was just a sense of coming home, a sense of hope, and a sense of starting to build the trust that was so important to be able to do the work. So truly, it is important for me to keep all of that in mind as I go forward when I'm working with sponsees, and grateful to have these directions. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Penny. All right, next up I have Christina J. followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Brandy. Good morning, everyone. Christina J., State of Washington, recovered for today with God's grace. See your man alone if possible. I love that. What a beautiful time of intimacy and vulnerability that we can have with our potential sponsee. And I have to say that when I first read these instructions in this whole chapter as a potential sponsor, I was scared to death because there was so much in here. Oh, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. I was like, how am I going to remember all this when I'm working with someone? Well, we don't have to. We have the book. We have the doctor's opinion. We learn over time as sponsors to just have, well, at least this is what I do. I have a general interview to start, and this is where I see my man alone. And I may have someone that's very scared. I may have someone that has been in and out of relapse, doesn't know what they're going to do, scared to think that they may not ever get out of this. So we just kind of talk for a little while gently. And like it says, we start talking about the food and all the stuff with the food. And this is how I really get an idea, as it says, of who I've got on the line, who God has brought to me. This is a sacred time. This is a sacred interview. If the person is scared to talk or whatever, I love how it says, you know, start talking about your own stuff, because our stories are, and as Penny shared, our stories are so crucial to let the person relax. I've sat in many spiritual circles and nobody would talk at first. And I always wanted to break the ice with my vulnerability and my stories, and pretty soon everyone was chiming in. Not that I did that, but that I caused them to, but I broke the ice because I just was open and started sharing. I'm not ashamed or embarrassed of my eating career anymore. It's a gift for me. And, we can talk about the horrors, and we do. But, you know, I find myself often laughing with the potential sponsee about the food that chased me down, the big cookie monsters, you know. Always cracks me up now. You know, I had a quick story here. I had a story of when I got into some pot brownies, and I ate like 10 of them. I didn't know they were pot brownies. And I started hallucinating and realized that, oh, my God, I ate pot brownies. And I started doing jumping jacks, knee lifts, trying to get it out of my system. I mean, it was a total funny thing to look back on. At the moment, it was horrific. But now I just realize, you know, that I can laugh about it now because it doesn't own me anymore, as long as I stay in this work and stay working with others to remind myself of the horrors. And so this is a sacred time. This is a beautiful moment in time when we bring someone in. We can just bring our hearts. And I always pray before I start, God, help me to be of service to this person. Show me where they are and how you can work through me to reach them, because they're suffering. So anyway, that's all I got to share on this. And I love you guys all, and I thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Christina J. All right, Kathleen O, followed by Roz G. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Brandy. Thanks for your service this morning. And good morning, everyone on the line. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. So yeah, this paragraph is about listen first, know when to listen, and know when to talk. And, you know, in the days of live meetings, this was easy because if you're in a meeting and you're in a normal-sized body, you know, that's a lot of attraction to people. It's like, you know, what are they doing in here? But then when you start to tell your story and they can relate, you know, I would find that people would say, well, how do you do this? What do I do? And that's always a great thing to hear. Because, you know, no one understands a compulsive overeater like a compulsive overeater. I mean, family or friends who are not compulsive eaters, they don't understand us. That they always give us that frothy emotional teal, you know, go on a diet, don't eat, you know, I don't know, think of all that advice that doesn't help someone who has this disease where we just can't stop. So, you know, to be able to connect with people who have the same problems and just, you know, explaining, it's like, you know, when I started, I couldn't stop. And it gives people hope, you know, when they're hopeless. And let's see, what was that? Sorry. Tell them enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage them to speak of themselves. I mean, that's really easy to do. You know, I've got a PhD in experiences and what it's like to be a compulsive overeater, you know, and at my first meeting, I was really desperate and I heard a lot of experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, hopefully for me, the timing was perfect because I was really desperate, and hopefully people that are new, they're desperate too, and they're really ready. You know, my food was my obsession with food. It was interfering with my life. And usually people who come to OA, they're having the same problem. So we can really be a lifeline to others, you know, when they feel like they're dying and drowning in this disease. And, you know, when I pass on this message and share my experience, I mean, hopefully I'm helping someone who's suffering and I can give them hope. But either way, you know, when we do this, we're just taking out more insurance that we're not going to forget we have this disease, because it really is a disease of forgetting and, you know, pick up the food again. So in a way, we're lucky because, you know, people come to us. We don't usually go to them. And when people talk to me, you know, they seem in a normal sized body and they say, oh, you never weighed over 200 pounds. And they don't believe it unless I show them a picture. And, you know, it's really simple that if I don't carry this message, I'm going to die in this disease. So it's easy to carry the message. I love carrying the message. But, you know, to give people hope, it's very hopeful when they can see
time,
that.
Please.
Okay, I will stop. Thank you, Brandy. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kathleen. All right, Ross G, followed by Bonnie B. Good morning, Ross.
I'm in a little bit of a noisy place walking into my work, so that's my background noise. I'll just share that in 12-step programs, there's a slogan. It's learn to listen and listen to learn. And I love to talk about myself. I love me, myself, and I. And I like to go on about me, myself, and I for on and on and on. And I remember when in early days in program, you know, I resented timers. Sometimes I would ignore them. I just thought, you know, hey, I'm talking now. Screw the timer, you know. But I have learned humility. And in the big book, in the earlier chapter, it says that we can gain somebody's confidence, you know, within a few minutes. If we sit and tell them about us, and our experience with the food, and listen to their experience with the food, you know, some of the zany stories that come along with it, and boom, you've got them. And today it's really changed. I joke and say, yeah, I love to talk about me, myself, and I, but I really don't. I really prefer to listen, to hear what other people have to say, and when it's, of course, when it's with a prospect, to just hear them out so that we can build the identification. But, of course, you know, if I'm going to get some kind of open heart, I'm going to have to share about, you know, the things I did with macaroni and cheese, the fact that I sat and watched soap operas and ate macaroni and cheese and fantasized about being as skinny as Erica Kane on All My Children. You know, things like that, people usually go, oh, yeah, I did that too. And then they'll tell me what they did. And we build a bond of intimacy right there. And the trust builds and builds, and then we can get on to a really good fifth step. But We've got to build that trust of intimacy first. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz. All right, Bonnie B, followed by Barbara B. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Brandy. Thank you for your service this morning. Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. All the shares have been amazing. So much of what I wanted to say has been said, but I guess I'll just chime in on a couple of things. This paragraph to me is about relationship. You know, deep down in my heart, I know that people don't care how much I know until they know that I actually care. And so I can't be selling anything. I can't be selling a program. I can't be selling a size. I can't be selling a meeting. I can't be selling anything. It's really about me just showing up, listening, meeting them where they're at, no judgment. As so many have said, you know, if the door opens, sharing my story with complete honesty, because I think that's where the bridges are built. My experience is that I was isolated. You know, I was isolated and I was kept in a room thinking I was the only one. And when people started being honest with me and telling me their story, I started thinking, oh my word, I'm not. And so that's that great letdown that we have with each other, right? When we're honest with each other. I also go into it just praying and asking for God's direction, because I don't know what the end result of any phone conversation is supposed to be. But I do know that that if I'm kind and if I ask God what I should be and I show up, he's going to do what he wants to do. And the person that I speak with is exactly where they're supposed to be. So always wishing the best for everyone, but always with no strings attached. That's my heart's desire when I talk with people, that they would know that, you know, at any point in time, they could pick up the phone and call me, regardless of what happened or didn't happen, and it would be the exact same conversation. How are you, friend? Because that really is the deal. So that's it, and I thank you so much for the shares. They've been amazing, and have a blessed day, you guys. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Bonnie B. All right, next up we'll have Barbara B. I'm just going to tell everyone where we're at in case you joined us after we read. So we're on page 91, third paragraph, see your man alone if possible. We read through that one paragraph. So following Barbara B., I'll be taking more names, so get ready for that. Good morning, Barbara.
Hi, good morning. I'm Barbara B. I'm here just to say hi because I'm a newcomer. I just started my program this year, and I'm having a hard time today with some crap that I ate. I'm still figuring out my business. And I was feeling so good the past two couple of days. I went to Zoom meetings, and I just started to read the literature, as you said, about today. But I used to isolate myself, and I need to, you know, my sponsor, I have a sponsor, and he said that I need to reach out, and then I decided to, you know, try to get those meetings like this one, and just to get some help. But I was abstinent, and then I ate some stuff yesterday, and that triggered me to, in the morning today, I ate not good, but anyway, I just would like to share. And I'm very grateful that I found this stuff because I know I belong to, I have this disease, and I need to come every day to you guys and to share and to reach, to do the calls and to, I'm asking God and praying this morning to have the willingness to stop eating the thing that I need to stop and just be in peace. And but I get a little overwhelmed because in my mind, when I was doing all the diets, you know, and trying to control my eating. So I just don't know what to do right now, but I believe that God has, you know, my higher power is working for me. Thank you so much. I hope I'll be here more often because I just found out the video for you. Thank you. Right there.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara B. Stick around to the end of the meeting where we take newcomers and get sponsor names. All right, so I'll open up the lines for further sharing. Please note that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So so others can have a turn. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Nadia B.
Nadia B.
Francoise C.
Did you say Francois?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Allez-y.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Yes, it is A-L-L-A. Thank you.
A-L-L-A. What's your last initial?
Z, as in zebra.
Awesome, thanks.
Hi, Debbie P. from Indiana.
Debbie P. All right, anyone else? Okay, let's not waste any more time. Nadia B., share with us, please.
Good morning, everyone. Brandy, thank you so much for your service. My name is Nadia B. I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. And what this paragraph awoke in me is the step one experience. And that is the experience that we already had before we come here, before we are asked for help. And the thing I have learned from my sponsors is that I was not aware of those experiences. I had barely any awareness of that pain because it came in such small increments, intervals. It's kind of like that story about boiling a frog. You know, I was, you know, in a warm water and I suffered from a little bit of overeating here and there. And then it became big. It became, you know, my binges, my puking, my using laxatives came closer together. I used more and I, you know, and I didn't know what I didn't know. And the pain became bigger and bigger, even though I wasn't even aware that I was killing myself. And so after about few years in recovery, I picked up again after 3 years of abstinence. And I was so surprised when that day when I chose the food to deal with my disease, I was not aware of it. I thought I actually made a decision. So, you know, to choose the food. I didn't understand. I didn't know enough about my disease, about my discomfort, about my restlessness, irritability. You know, I thought it was just the food. And so for me, telling my story helps seeing my powerlessness. And each person here have to decide for themselves if they are powerless. And that admission of powerlessness is very important for our survival. You know, if I can't see it, if I don't know it, if I'm not aware of it, you know, I'm going to die. And for me, you know, this, my sponsors held that place for me, you know, where I could become aware. I'm eternally grateful for that experience, that, you know, for those places, for those people that asked me questions, that allowed me to meet with them and talk about those experiences, because you know, this awareness was the first step to, you know, my survival, to saving my life. And so you people saved my life, because I would never by myself on my own, you know, I would boil in this disease to death. And so that's what we do for each other here. We hold this place for each other.
Time, please.
Thank you. So we can have this experience and admit our powerlessness. And I'm so grateful that I get to do this for other people, just as it has been done for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia. All right, Francois C., followed by Ella Z. Good morning, Francois.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Françoise C. from Montreal, Canada. And I really enjoyed the passage today. I was a recovered compulsive overeater. And over the last 8 months, I started slipping and sliding and letting things go. So I'm back into working my program and living abstinently right now. But in reading this passage today with you, I realize how many people just listened. Like, I'm getting emotional talking to you, but just people were all there, no judgment, just listening, sharing their experience. And like, in this program, there's no coincidence. I've had like 3 people that I haven't spoken to for a long time that have reached out to me, and people that have recovered from relapse as well. And I think the program is amazing that the tools are all there. We, you know, we, even though I was slipping and sliding, I was still going to meetings, I was still doing things, but I wasn't being honest about my program, and I wasn't keeping spiritually fit. And then when I realized that, you know, the gates of hell are opening on me again, that I had to get back into recovery, and a solid recovery, that I wasn't where I was 8 months ago, my sponsor listened. My sponsor didn't judge. My friends listened. They didn't judge. It's so important to feel that acceptance and that love. And so I guess with that, I'll pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Grandpa. Painful place to be, but we are here. All right, next up we have Ella Zag. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Alizi. I'm from Boston. I just wanted to say a general thank you to all of my sponsors and all of my former sponsors too. I came into the program 8 years ago, and I left after 4 years. I was in regular OA without studying Big Book, and then I left for 4 years because I could not deal with sponsors. You know, everybody who sponsored me, I knew were great people, and they loved me, and I loved them and tried very, very hard. And, you know, I experienced one failure after another, and it was heartbreaking for me because I didn't understand the nature of the disease. That, you know, I didn't understand that we need support, and we can get, like, in increments, we can get an understanding. And my program 4 years ago did give me a lot of gifts, but not recovery. So I am back. I was away for 4 years. I am back, and I am working this program now. I am, opinion, I am making a progress. And I understand, and it is. I'm grateful that it is emphasized here that you have to have a visceral experience. The program has to come from your head to your heart. And I am having those experiences, and thank God I am starting to have a relationship with my higher power where I could rely on it, and where I could remove the food, and where I could say, please God, take it. And, you know, of course, people who are here along with me, my sponsors and my friends, I mean, their guidance opening up this world for me. So I'm very, very grateful. I'm grateful to everyone who is in this meeting and listening every single morning. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next up, I have Deb P. Good morning, Deb.
Hi, good morning. This is Debbie P. from Indiana, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. And this paragraph, what it means to me this morning is it's about planting the seed and qualifying in. It took me years and years to let the walls down for me to see what food was doing to me and hiding from me. Once I was able to put down the food, then I was able to see the real problem, which is my lack of knowing and understanding what's going on within me. And I heard this said earlier, but I can always talk about myself. So when I'm with a newcomer, I try to give them the opportunity to start talking first, and then if they show any little bit of interest, I usually take off running with giving them my example so that we can connect on some level. I also heard this morning the admission of powerlessness. I really liked that. That took me a while also, and now today I do understand that my powerlessness is what connects me to all of you. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you all for your service today.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. We have a few more minutes left, so I'm going to open up the lines again for further sharing. If you'd like to share on this paragraph, please say your first name and last initial.
Anna S.
Anna S.
S as in Sam.
Yeah, I got it. Thanks, Anna. Anyone else?
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Ronnie B. Anyone else? Okay, let's go with that.
Arlene B., California.
Oh. Arlene B. Okay, so I have Anna S., Ronnie B., and Arlene B. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. My name is Anna S. from New York. I'm very grateful to be on the line today to do service for the meeting. It's a good opportunity. I had an epiphany this morning listening to the shares for this meeting. I don't know how it happened, but I think somebody said something, and in my mind went, "We're not meant to go through this, get recovery from this illness on your own." And that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I've been through four sponsors from the Vision meeting, and each one was wonderful and could have certainly taken me through the 12 steps. But each time I wasn't ready, including the fourth time, which is very recent. And I don't know what to do about my problem. I love the meetings. I listen every day. I listen to the Sunday edition as well. I'm sorry I'm off topic, but this is where I am. I think I certainly identify with the, not a newcomer perhaps, but with somebody who's not ready to listen or to do the work. I am willing to listen to the message, absolutely, to the solution, but not to do the work, because I'm still holding on to the belief deep down inside that I can do this on my own. And I want to do this on my own, which is the problem. So it's a conundrum. I said to myself, you know, well, is this good news or bad news? And I guess it's a little of both, because I'm used to the isolation. And even though I'm not isolating right now, I still want to be a loner. And that's not what this program is about. It's about fellowship and carrying the message to the next person, which is something I can't very well do if I'm not practicing it. So anyway, that's all I have today. Have a great day, everybody, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Anna. All right, Ronnie B., please share with us.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri. I was listening to myself because I thought, gee, I wonder if I have anything worthwhile to share. And I thought, just leave it to me to think there'd be something else I could say. And that tells you right where I'm at with this. I have realized I talk way too much and listen way too less. And you know that old adage of God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason definitely applies to me. And I can accept that today. And I've realized by listening to all of you how gentle my sponsor has been with me. November is going to be 2 years. I'm like, I cannot believe that. How generous she's been by letting me talk as much as I do. So I can see in my relationships with others that I need to take her lead. And so that said, I think I am going to listen to the rest of the meeting as I have been doing. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Arlene B., take us out on this Friday morning. Arlene B., star 110 mute.
Oh, there I am. There you are.
There you are.
Hi. My name is Arlene B. I'm a compulsive overeater. And my program is important to me, and I laugh at myself because I really wanted to be at this meeting. I set my alarm to be on here. I'm in California at 7. It's early for me, and I have my ear piece in because it won't disturb my husband in the other room. And that feels good. It's kind of like being married, you know. I do a lot to stay married, and so I wanted to do a lot to be at this meeting. I just wanted to say that I came on a couple of weeks ago as a newcomer to Vision, not to program, to Vision. And I was absolutely inundated with phone calls and texts, and it was the most amazing feeling in the world. So amazing. It's really, I've been in program a long time, but I never had that experience, and I felt bathed in the caring and the connections. And I was having trouble with my abstinence at that time, and thank God I'm abstinent again. And I just wanted to say that it's really, you know, I felt like I was back in the big book in the old days, that I was just surrounded by recovery and care. So I just wanted to say that, and I wanted to say thank you, and that I'm glad to be here, and I will pass.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for sharing this morning. So we're going to close the meeting, and we're going to, we'll now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Barbara W., will you please read a vision for you? Barbara, star 1 to unmute. Jordan L., do you have that keyed up? Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Brandy. Jordan?
Okay. Brandy.
Okay. Yeah.
Brandy?
So, yeah.
Mary B., I could do that if you want.
Okay. Yeah,
Brandy, you can do it if you want. Christina J.
Go ahead. The first, the one who said they were.
Mary B.?
Yeah, go.
I'm just grabbing my book. Okay. I'm almost there. Sorry about the delay.
Okay.
All
we
right.
We have an extra minute.
Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And this is Mary B. from Phoenix.